I want to read here in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 14. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 14. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey." Verse 16. "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I'd like you to turn over also to Luke chapter 19. Let's read over here a somewhat parallel passage. The account is different, but yet the same. In many respects. And so we just want to read this also, and so we can refer to it as we go through the message. Luke chapter 19, verse number 11. Luke 19, verse 11. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, that is Jesus, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. So 10 servants here in the example, or in the parable, each one of them getting a pound. He said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. Another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man." That word austere means like dominating. The root of it is talking about blowing, very forceful, very powerful, just a great presence. Okay, that's what he's saying. He's a very forceful, with great effect and great power being exhibited. "Thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Verse 25, in parentheses, the scripture says, and they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. And for I say unto you, verse 26, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. We may refer here to this passage in Luke 19 from time to time. So if you want to put a marker there so you can go back to it, I would let you know that in advance. But otherwise, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 25. What we want to consider this morning, and pray that the Lord will help and bless in it, just a very simple thing, and these parables are here in the scripture to us, and we might ask the question, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, that's what the parables are there for. They're to tell us some things. A parable is that which the Lord takes, and he takes earthly things that we understand about to explain spiritual things and heavenly things. That's the purpose of parables. What we want to consider this morning is this. Here's the title of the message. Listen, what is my opinion of the Master? What is my opinion of the Master? And I say my because I need to consider that, okay? And I encourage you to consider what is your opinion of the Master. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father, that you'd help us with it. And Lord, speak to us through it. And Lord, that we might see that which you have for us in your word, Father, because you've promised that there is a help, there's a blessing. Lord, there's an admonition, there's an edification. Lord, in your word, Lord, there's a calling unto righteousness and a calling unto salvation in your word. And we pray, Father, that you would just help us all this morning, whatever our case might be, Father, that we might consider what is our opinion of the Master. Lord, help us that we might see it right, we might see it well. And Lord, that we might honor and glorify your name in it. Help now, we pray. Lord, save sinners. There are those here amongst us this morning that are not saved by their own testimony, Father. And we pray that you might take your word and make it real unto them as you only can. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. And amen. What is my opinion of the Master? Here we have this parable. And again, we explained about that, what that is. And then this man... Are these men that we've read about, that they have a responsibility, they have a wealth, they have things that they're doing, and they're both going on a trip. They're going to go do some things and that are away from their abode, the place where they own their property and all that. And they have these fellows they have these men that work for them or that are responsible to them. And this master, or the one that's here, gives to them these things. In one place it talks about talents, and another place it talks about pounds. The number of the men is different, but the concept or the consideration of it is the same. In one case we hear about 3, in another case we hear about 10. In one case we hear about different amounts being given to different ones, 5, 3, and 1. In the other account, we have 10 men, and one's given to each one. We see that what they gain, each one of them gains by taking the talents or the pounds, that which is given to them by the master, is all different. They all gain different ones. But when we see also, there's one that's in the mix that is an exception. And so what we want to do is let's consider here first in Matthew chapter 25, what we have in the disparity between these two different groups. There are two groups that are here amongst these, whether we look in Luke 19 or Matthew chapter 25. We have those that take that which is given, and they are obedient, aren't they? They're obedient to the master. They take that that the master is given. And it says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. This reference to the kingdom of heaven is that what when and we see this reference in the scripture several different times. The kingdom of heaven is like unto, or the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of heaven is. What it is, is this is a thing, the Lord is telling us about a thing of how one aspect of the kingdom of heaven, how it operates. Never in any particular parable, I'm persuaded, that tells us about the kingdom of heaven is like, tells us everything about the kingdom of heaven. But it tells us about a slice of it, how the kingdom of heaven operates, how it is that the Lord takes and focuses upon one aspect of it, and we need to consider all these references of how the kingdom of heaven is like to be able to understand fully about how the Lord does operate in his kingdom. I ask you this question, and it's a subject for another time, but what isn't in the kingdom of God? If you think about a king that has a dominion, we just saw in our vacation Bible school, is there anything God has not made? Does not it all fall in his kingdom? It does. It does. And so I'm persuaded from what the scriptures say is that the kingdom of God is everything that he has made. But there's different aspects of the kingdom. And we, as the children of God, we that are saved, we see and understand the kingdom of God and how the operation of God is. We know that we have a president that's a leader of our nation appointed by God, but we really know who's in control, don't we? We know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is in control. You see what I'm saying? We have understanding about the kingdom. But those that are in darkness, those that are not saved, all they see is what they see. And they would default to maybe the local kingdom that they would see in our country, our nation, and the operation of it. They would see other kingdoms over in the world, but they have no understanding about the operation and work of God in his kingdom. What's going to happen in the end is that the kingdom of God is going to be revealed. It's going to be revealed. It won't be cloaked. It won't be a mystery anymore. But in the last day, in those final days of the existence of this earth, some 1,007 years, if you will, it'll be revealed that the kingdom of God is ruled by God. And he does what he wants to in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of men. But these references in the scripture to the kingdom of God tell us about pieces and parts, how different aspects, different pieces and parts of the Lord's kingdom works. And so the Lord says there's this man, he has these servants, and he gives some goods unto them. And over there in Luke it said, occupy till I come. He gave them a command, didn't he? You know, the Lord has given a command to mankind, hadn't he? Fill the earth. All right, replenish and fill the earth. Subdue everything that I've created as I subdue and am over everything, all of the creation. The Lord has done that with mankind upon the earth. We're not to be submissive to animals. We're not to be submissive to any other creature. We're supposed to subdue. We're supposed to fill the earth, and all for the praise and honor and glory of God. That's what the Lord's given us to do. But because of sin, we do that and we pursue that to our own glory and to our own benefit. That's the straight that we are in, or the position that we are in. When in these parables we see, there are these men that take what the Lord gives, and what do? They do occupy, don't they? They do occupy till the Lord comes back. And what are they doing? Just consider it quickly. They take what the Lord has given, they know that he has given it, and they obey him in it, don't they? They immediately go to pursuing in what he says do. If the Lord has said it, they do it. And there's blessing in it. And all of them, in all the cases, whether it be the 2 or the 9, all of them increase. The Lord has given a thing and he's given a command, and they take it. They pursue what the Lord has said. They obey him in it, and they increase in it, don't they? And then what is it? As they are pursuing that, what is it that they have an expectation? That he is coming back. They believe him that he's coming back, don't they? They know that he's coming back, and they're busy and obeying what he said, and there's blessing and there's multiplying of what they have been given, and the stewardship that they have been given from their master, and they pursue that and do that with expectation that one day he will come back. And we see in the answer that they give that they are glad to give an account the way they do, aren't they? They're happy to give an account. And let's take a look at that quickly. When in verse number 20 of Matthew chapter 25, so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. You did that to me. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Look over in Luke 19. You can take a look over here. And over here in In verse number 16 of Luke 19, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. See, he knew where that which had been given came from. Thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And we see that what the servant is doing is that he is yielding that back to the master, isn't he? Okay? He's not saying, I've got this and this is mine and it really did good and I've got more. But the master came back and he says, look, your pound has gained 10 more. And he willingly yields that to him. That's the disparity that we see between the 9 in the case of the account in Luke, or the 2 of the account in the case of, or the, in the case of the account of Matthew. They knew where they got what they got from. They obeyed the master in it. And they have a high opinion of the master in that they look for his return and are glad and ready to see him when he does return. Why? That they may yield back to him that which they were given, because their care and their desire and their love is for the master, isn't it? They don't take on themselves what they want to do, but they just take what the master has told them and they pursue it and they do it. Then there's the other group, the one. In each case, there's one out of the 10 or one out of the 3. And we read in Matthew chapter 25. We read in Matthew chapter 25. And then verse number 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man. Austere man is what said, a very forceful and forward man, and as the account is in Luke, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. The account over in Luke chapter 19 reads a little bit different, but the same. He says, verse number 20, another came saying, Lord, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down. Thou reapest thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money to the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury. And of course they took that which the man had, and it was given to another. Here we have one that didn't believe the master, did he? He didn't believe him. The master said, occupy till I come. Be busy. Be about some business. Do some things. Take what I've given to you and use it. Work with it. That you might reckon well when I return back. But in the account of both of these men, what did they take it? What did they do? They took what the master had given them and they buried it in the earth, didn't they? See, their trust was not in their master. Their desire to obey was not in their master. Their desire to obey was in themselves, and their trust was in the earth and in the way they thought that the pound could only, or the talent could only be kept safe by burying it in the ground. That's the only way it could be kept. The Lord calls this servant a wicked servant. He makes the presentation to both of them that, why didn't you take what I gave you and at least put it in the bank so I could got a little bit of interest from it? You weren't wise enough to even do that. Why? Because what was it that the men said? Their opinion of the master was not one of love and care and desire, was it? But they reckoned the Lord, they reckoned the master as a hard man. A hard man. See where their motivation, their motivation all sprouted from what they thought about the master. What's our opinion of the master? What's our opinion of the master? Do we consider the Lord a hard man? You that are here and saved, or not saved this morning, you that are here and not saved, you consider, as you look on at the Lord and you consider the Word of God and you consider what the Lord gives, that He is just too hard to be able to obey, that He's just too hard to follow, that you'll have to give up your way and take his way, and that is just too much? Is he too hard? Look at the joy that those had. And here in Matthew chapter 25, let's take a look at this. Look, the one man said that he was hard and that he feared him. Fear. He feared him. Master, you can't be trusted. The whole situation at hand can't be trusted. You bestowing your goods upon me that I might occupy till you come, it can't be trusted. I've got to find my own way and hide this in the earth so I won't have any loss over what you have given me. You're a hard man. But look at how the others did and how they fared. In verse number 20, so that he, in Matthew 25, so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. A few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He said, you've been faithful over just this little bit. I'm going to make you a minister and a steward over many, many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You know what? This man knew the joy of the Lord before the Lord told him to enter into his joy, didn't he? Because he trusted the master. He obeyed the master and what the master gave him to do. He wasn't seeking his own and his with desire. When the master showed up, he was ready to give an account before the master and had great glee and excitement and happiness to show how the blessing had been, how those talents had gained more. Let's read over in Luke chapter 19. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Verse number 16, Luke 19:16. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little. 1 pound was very little. Listen to this. Have thou authority over 10 cities? This is the way the kingdom of God works, the kingdom of heaven. This is the way it operates. You've been faithful over that 1 pound. You've done well. Now you'll have authority over 10 cities. How many pounds would be reckoned to be in 10 cities? Wouldn't it be many, 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 many pounds? Right. Take a look over here in Luke chapter 16. I want to read this to you, and may the Lord help us. We need to all get a handle on this. We that are saved need to understand this. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse number 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. So the little bit, and it doesn't matter what it is. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Because that's what's in him. That's what's in us. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's the things of this earth, who will commit unto your trust the true riches or the true? What's that talking about? It's talking about the Word of God. That's what I believe it is. Understanding about God and understanding about the Lord's way. If I hadn't been faithful in the little, if I hadn't been faithful in that which is upon the earth, how will it be that we can be faithful in that which is spiritual? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, or if you will, the Lord's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The concept and the principle that's there is that we need to be faithful in that which is little that the Lord gives us so that we might have a blessing of more upon us. But if we're not, don't expect any more. And folks, I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about understanding, knowledge, and seeing the big picture the way God sees the big picture. Yes, if you're not faithful in your stuff, the Lord won't open up the scriptures to you. And I'm talking about not just being prudent, but I'm talking about being faithful to Him. I'm not just talking about tithing. I'm not just talking about giving offerings to the church. But I'm talking about taking everything that you've got and everything about your life and using it for the honor and glory of the Lord. That's the stewardship that we're called into as the Lord's children. Because if we're not faithful in that, how is it that the Lord will open up anything else to us? It won't be. We must be faithful in little. All the stuff of this life, remember what's going to happen to it. What's going to happen to it? It's going to burn up, isn't it? The Lord counts it as little. Now to you and I, it can be very great. But if we don't handle that right, what's really important and what's really eternal, the Lord won't open up to us. But these had been faithful, and these had been faithful in few things. And the Lord said to enter into his joy. The Lord said he would make them responsible over more. And even there in Luke chapter 19 says, you've been faithful in this little thing, I'll make you responsible over some cities. And I think that maybe that might even apply to the millennial reign. So we see the desire and the joy that these had and how the expectation was and the blessing that they had in being faithful to the Lord and his reward to them. Now, there's a difference, isn't there? Isn't there a difference? The man that had five gained so many more. The one that had three didn't gain what the other man gained. He gained what he gained. The one, the ten, and then those nine that gained for the Lord, some of them gained different than others, didn't they? Mm-hmm. It happens. Isn't that how the parable of the sower and the seed tells us that it is? The seed that falls on the good ground, all of it gave a yield, but some 100, some 60, some 30. You know what you're responsible for? What's in your lap. That's what you're responsible for. You're not responsible for what somebody else has been given. Peter was so worried about what John should do, wasn't he? And the Lord said, Peter, don't worry about John. If I want John to live till I come back, what's that to you? What's the Lord say? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. And so there is that difference that is there. It says at the appearing, or the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's there in Matthew chapter 28, and he's getting ready to ascend up into the heavens, and he gives the great commission to his church. It says there, what? It says there that they were all there. But there were some that doubted. Oh, may God forgive me for my failure in being faithful to him because I doubted him. Because maybe I had times as his child that I thought that he was a hard man. Listen, folks, if it ever comes to your lips or ever comes to our thought that's saying, well, I'm not going to do that for the Lord, or I'm not going to give up this for the Lord, or I'm only going to go this far for the Lord. May the Lord help us that we don't take up the attitude of that wayward servant. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us not to put up a cold, stony heart and air. We've all got areas that we got to work on. And that doesn't give us justification for having them to work on. But we know it's the truth. And may the, even as the children of God, may the Lord help us that we not have an attitude, even in some aspects of our lives, that the Lord is a hard man. If our attitude comes and our position in our minds is, well, everything's being taken away from me, or I've got to give this up, or I've got to give that up, something's wrong inside. Because if there's conviction there from the Word of God, and truth from the Word of God about how we're to occupy, but may the Lord help us to listen to what the Lord says and be obedient in it. Is there not a blessing in obeying the Lord and occupying well till he comes? Does the Lord seek our hardship? Does the Lord seek us to be just wasted away eternally? Does not the Lord seek our blessing and desires good things for us? Indeed, he does. He does. And these saw that. These ones saw that. But then we come to the other. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man. Some might say, but he only got one. He didn't have much to work with. But remember, over in Luke 19, all 10 of them got one, and one multiplied tenfold. So we can't lay it out that the man just got one talent to work with, and that was his problem. Because see, folks, we can't blame our shortfall in any wise on the Lord. Do we deserve the 1 pound? No, not at all. We don't deserve to live. The disparity between us and our God is that great. We don't deserve to live. But could we not consider even the 1 pound as that the Lord has given us life? And what is our calling? To honor and glorify the Lord. That's what mankind's calling is. What's it say in Micah chapter 6? I'll read it to you. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, that thou do justly, like the Lord does, and love mercy, like the Lord does, and to walk humbly with thy God. To walk humbly with thy God is saying yes to Lord and no to self. Amen? That's what it is. To walk humbly with the Lord and say, Master, you want me to occupy with one till you come? Lord, help me that I'll do well. Lord, help me that I'll be profitable in that which you've called me to. Not looking over at my brother, not looking over at my sister and seeming the difference in how they have been blessed based relative to how I've been blessed, and then be covetous in that, but focus upon what the Lord's given me to do. And not cop out on the Lord, you just gave me one. Be glad the Lord gave us some. He's given us life. He's given us a command to honor and glorify Him. Oh, and praise His name, He sends the Word of God to us to tell us about our need and about our sin and about the Savior. Amen. And what's He tell us? Repent and believe. He's made it simple, hadn't He? Has the Lord made it complicated? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him. But these said, you're a hard man. The way they look at the Lord is that it's just a bunch of rules. It's a bunch of do's and don'ts. And what that does in considering about the law and the do's and don'ts and this supposed hardness of the Lord, they overlook that they've been given life. They've overlooked that they've been given the blessing of the Scripture. They've overlooked that they've been given the command of the Lord and about the Savior. And they just say, it's a bunch of do's and don'ts, and I'm afraid to even touch it. And totally miss what the Lord's all about. Totally miss what the Savior is all about. You're a hard man. Is the Lord a hard man? No, He's not. Does the Lord go and steal from anybody? No. Is not His kingdom His? And He meets it out as He wants to. He gives to us. And folks, when I'm talking, what I'm talking about, the least amount of what I'm talking about is things and stuff. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about possessions. I'm not talking about cars and houses and all those things and tools and stuff in the house and all that. That is a part of this, but it's just a little itty-bitty part of it. It's a real part, but it's the small stuff. Does the Lord steal from anybody? Is not the Lord the one that is the greatest? Is not the one that is the greatest, this is bad English, sharer of all? Amen? He has shared His creation with us. Is He a hard man? Does He go and reap where He hadn't sown? It's all His. He's not a hard man. But this one, He said, you're a hard man. You reap where you haven't strown, and you gather where you haven't strawed. The disobedience, the slothfulness, the wickedness of this servant He's taken that, and in his doubt and his fear of the master, he's taken his problem and he's laid it on God. He's accused God of what he would do. And you know, that's something that's very common today. If you watch politics, pretty much you see a politician talking. Whatever they're accusing somebody else of is probably what they're doing. Okay, I'll give you that. That's free. Okay? But that's it. What he would do is what he accuses the Lord of. And he says, all that makes me afraid. It is not true what he accuses the Lord of. The Lord is not austere. Oh, he is powerful and he is mighty. But as he enjoins mankind, has he not been so very blessed and gracious? He that spared not his own son. Amen. That's speaking to the saved, but it's a testament to all. God gave his son. And John tells us in his epistles, that's how we can know the love of God, that he gave his son. He gave his son. So we see the disparity between these two groups, and we see the problem that these men, the one man in each case has. And he said, I hid the talent, I hid the pound and a napkin in the earth. Their trust is in themselves and what they can do, and their trust is in the earth that brings nothing but corruption. How about you and me? How is it with us? I want you to listen to some scriptures, and especially you that are here this morning and not saved. Is this the testimony of a hard man? In Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Are those the words of a hard man? It goes on to say, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Are those the words of a hard man? No. We as the Lord's children, we can say, oh, it's so hard to take the word of God and stand for the truth of the word of God because of what it costs us. It costs us our friends. It costs us our family. It costs us our money. But what's going to stand in the end, folks? It's going to be that same word. That's what's going to stand. Our social relationships and our family relationships will all be gone in that day. I think we'll know of them. But it'll all be about the Lord. It'll all be about our Master, our great King and Savior. It'll all be about Him. And may the Lord help us to have that vision and understanding. Ezekiel chapter 33 says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but in turn I have pleasure that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Are those the words of a hard man? No, they're not. The Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are those the words of a hard man? What the Lord requires of us is that we just receive Him on His word, on His terms, and not on our thinking and what we can add to it or how we can tweak or modify what He says. To hear Him and believe Him. Because remember, He is the Master. He is God, and beside Him there's none other. And in the end, His word is established and will stand forever. And we need to hear Him and believe Him in it. And as I mentioned earlier in Romans chapter 8, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If the Lord would give the greatest that he had, his own son, will he hold back on anything else? No, he won't. 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. In Revelation chapter 22, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Lord doesn't give three options for salvation. He gives one, and it's found in him. And if you choose something else or seek to go after something else, salvation won't be found. But this hard man, I say that tongue in cheek, is the one that made a way for sinners to be saved, even without sinners even petitioning him for it. He chose to do so. Amen. No man ever stood up and said, God, we've got a problem and we need your help. In and of ourselves, we didn't even know we've got a problem. To you that are here and not saved, I want all to listen to this, but this is a quote from something that I've recently heard. And it was the catalyst for this message and what the Lord used to bring this. And this is the testimony of a young man and how he saw the Lord before he was saved. He was saved. But before he was saved, here's what he said. I had never felt so wretched and miserable. Guilt and despair wrapped me around like a cloak. You know what a cloak is? A cloak will go over top of your coat when it's really, really cold. Or a cloak is something that you can, it just spreads over and goes over your shoulders. Doesn't necessarily have armholes. Might have armholes, might not. But it's there to as that another layer when it's very, very cold, or you can wear it when it's lighter weather. But he said, guilt and despair wrapped me around like a cloak, a heavy, black, stifling cloak. Hey, even though I was yet a lad of 15, I knew well the sin and evil that lurked in my young heart. I sought relief. Oh, how I sought it. I prayed, I read my Bible, I went to church twice every Sunday, but instead of relief, I got the whip. Others could talk tearful-eyed of their Lord's forgiveness. I could not. He was to me a harsh taskmaster. Do you feel that way? Are you here this morning and not saved? And do you feel that way as you look on and consider God? It's just too much for me. I can't keep it. I'm telling you, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're right. You can't do it. You can't keep it. And when you consider the Lord and all the things that the Scripture says and how the law and the Word of God shows how we fall short, you can never keep it. You can never make amends. And this young man, as the Lord was dealing with him, he was trying. But he hadn't got to the point yet of quit trying and trust and believe in the Lord. But he did. The Lord brought him to it. I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want you to see, as we that are saved and what we can give testimony to, as our brother Peter has here in this passage, that this is what you need to see. This is what those two and what those nine saw in their master. This is what sinners need to see in the Lord. Not a list of do's and don'ts that can't be kept. Or even we as the Lord's children looking on at the Word of God and saying, I just can't do it. You know, we're right. We can't do it. We need to obey. But only by the Lord's strength can we obey. And we've been redeemed. We've been saved. But when we, as we are saved, if we consider that the Lord is a hard taskmaster, may the Lord help us to repent of that and get right with the Lord about that and see what the content of this passage is and remember how the Lord saved us. And for you that are here this morning and not saved, that you might see this about the Lord Jesus Christ and see that salvation is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ, not what you can do. That the Lord's not a hard man. But he is loving and gracious. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7. Unto you therefore which believe, and that is the key, isn't it? Faith. The servants that were left with the master's wealth to abide, they believed their master, didn't they? They believed him. What he said was true, and there was nothing else to enter into it. They were to abide, they were to occupy till he came back. They believed him. They trusted in him. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Isn't that what the one man in each case did? They stumbled at the directive. They stumbled at what the master was telling. Some believed it and received it and were blessed by it. But those that said, no, you're a hard man. I can't keep it. I can't do it. It's too hard. They totally missed what it was all about, didn't they? They did. But unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. And for you that are here this morning that are not saved, that's what our desire for you is, that you might see that the Master is precious. Amen. That you might believe him. That you might hear him and that you might believe him and trust in him and hang on his every word. And know that he is faithful. And that he will save. For we that are saved, may the Lord help us that we would continue to see and know that he is precious. Is the Lord precious to you? Oh, he is. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the builder said, that stone won't work. Jesus Christ won't work. God took that stone and made him the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Is that the way the Lord is to you? Offensive? Is his doctrine and is his way, is his word offensive? Oh, turn from that. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. What is my opinion of the Master? What is your opinion of the Master? May the Lord help us to see the Master as he truly is. For you that are here and not saved, we pray for you that the Lord would open your eyes and open your heart that you might see him as precious. To we that are saved, may the Lord help us to remember, amen, that he is precious.